Are you ready for the big game? At The Designery, we can help you arrange your kitchen in the perfect way to feed everyone coming over for the big game. I'm Dana Merrill, the owner of The Designery in North Raleigh.
And I am True Merrill.
The Designery grand opening, we're scheduled to open May 16th and do our grand opening party then. We're going to be catering some food. We're doing some giveaways. We have a VR headset, an Echo Show, some kitchen gadgets, and some fancy knives. 12 to 2 p.m.
Please stop by our showroom, 3030 Wake Forest Road. That's The Designery at thedesignery.com.
We wanted to ask this yesterday. Is Sebastian Aho living up to the expectations, which are admittedly high for a player of his caliber, and the contract extension he signed? He's the most, and I've said this, this is like when you buy a red car and then you're driving home and it feels like every single car on the road is a red car. You're like, were they always this? What is going on here? I came to the conclusion that he was the most under-talked about, underrated superstar in the NHL a couple months ago. And then from that point on, there was just signs about it nonstop. He wasn't included in the All-Star Game skills challenge. I'm going, what? He's one of the most skilled guys in the league. Why? He's on one of the best teams in the league.
He won most accurate shooter just a couple of years ago.
Well, why not? Well, famous and underrated. And then there's lists coming out, and he's not on the top tiers. And I'm going, this guy is the most underrated superstar in the league. So obviously, as I try to do, you double check your hypothesis, right? Old scientific theory. You make a statement, and then you have to go test it. This offseason, he signed an 8-year, $78 million extension. That comes with expectations that are higher than when you're playing on your previous deal. And the extension actually doesn't kick in until next year, but he signed it this past offseason. Has he lived up to those expectations? I will give you the shortest possible answer. Yes. Now we'll dive into the longer answer. The Canes are tied on DraftKings Sportsbook as the betting favorite to win the Stanley Cup. The betting favorite, plus 650. They are the most likely to win according to the betting odds, right? You will win the least amount of money if you pick them to win, and they do. Sebastian Aho is the best player and has played like the best player. He is the team leader in points. He is the team leader in goals. He is the team leader in assists. And he's getting better as the season goes along. Dennis brought up these stats in our team's chat, whatever you want to call it. Last 9 games, 8 goals,
mm-hmm.
9 assists.
Yeah.
He's plus 12.
Okay.
3 points per game. He's been on the ice for a little over 20 minutes, average time on ice, 20 minutes and 38 seconds. 3 power play goals,
yeah,
not points
per
game.
3 power play goals, yeah.
I'm reading it like it's a basketball stat. A lot of college basketball in my mind right now. PPG. Right. 3 power play goals and 2 power play assists. That's pretty darn good. When you're averaging almost a goal, almost a goal per game, and you're averaging a full assist per game at the same darn time, he's living up to everything. And yet, still underrated, right? And you know what? I have to admit, let's raise our hands. Let's tap our chest on this one. Let's say my bad. That little run is coincided with the new guys coming in.
Mm-hmm.
And I do think we've given a lot of the credit to the new guys, which they deserve theirs. But I also think, all those assists Gensel is getting have a lot to do with the fact that he's playing with Aho.
Yeah.
Right?
And all these goals that Jarvis is getting.
sometimes we have to admit and sometimes we have to recalibrate and recognize we're taking something for granted. Which is why I wanted to ask this question. I think we might be taking Aho a little bit for granted. And we're so excited about these other guys that we're forgetting that the best player is doing best player things.
Already has his career best in terms of points for a season. And there's still 7 games left.
I was going to say, and it's not like we're done here.
Yeah.
And if he's on his well, what does he have? He's 85 points?
85 points in 72 games.
He's averaging, we're looking at 1.9 points per game over his last 9.
Something like that, yeah.
7 games left. If he stays on this torrid pace, which would be tough, but hey, let's play that game for
let's
hypothetical
do it. Why
reasons.
Why not?
you're looking at like 97, 98 points.
He could push it to 100.
That's, I think once you get into your 90s, you're looking around going, yeah, Rod, I know we're getting ready for a postseason run, but would an extra minute or two on the ice really hurt me? That I'm in good shape. I've been working out all year. I'm just saying, Rod.
Rod, I'm feeling good.
And Rod might look at him and say, what are you, crazy? We're getting ready for a postseason run. And that's fair, too. But I'm just saying, if he stays on this torrid pace that he's been on the last nine games, it's not completely outside the realm of possibility that he's a 100-point scorer, which would be the first time in a long time the Canes would have that on their roster.
First time since 2006.
What else happened in 2006?
They won a Stanley Cup.
Look at that.
The last time they had a 40-goal scorer who was also 100 points was Eric Staal in 2006.
I think, you know, actually, do you know what it is?
What's that?
I think he's becoming an everything but player.
Mm.
We've talked about this with Armando Bacot in college, RJ Davis in college recently, when it comes to their standing in UNC history. He's becoming an everything but player. There's no doubt in my mind sometime in the next 4 or 5 years he's going to be a 100-point scorer. I just see that happening, the way he's playing, the way he's developing as he continues to develop and improve. That's coming. It's the everything but is everything but a cup. The ESPN put him in the second tier of top centers. We were talking about this a few days ago. And I when I saw he was in the second tier, I wanted to go on the same rant I started with in this and go, this guy is so underrated. Who's putting him in the second tier? And then I read the description for the first tier, and it was all of these guys have led their team to a cup. And I went, fair. Okay. He better be in the next tier. And he was. And I went, all right, this one's okay. He's everything but that at the moment. So there's an opportunity here to check off that everything but, right? There's an opportunity here, and that's what players of his caliber are measured on from this point moving forward.
Career best in points, best plus minus at plus 31, also best faceoff percentage for a season in his career.
And he's on a team that's, at least according to one book, the betting favorite to win the Stanley Cup. Everything but also means there's one goal. Actually, there's, you know, 40-plus goals. But there's one directive. There's one thing they're chasing, and that is the Stanley Cup. The Drive with Tim Donnelly, 99.9 The Fan. Thank you for listening to the Best of the Drive podcast. I'm Tim Donnelly here with Coach Pete of Capital Financial Advisory Group. Coach, is it still true that $1 million is enough to retire on?
Tim, maybe and maybe not. The most important thing is to get a real plan that gives you income you never outlive. We'll give that away to the next 10 people. Call right now.
The number to call, 800-691-3215. Text Tim to 600-700 if you're interested in texting. Once again, that phone number is 800-691-3215 or text Tim to 600-700 for that deal. Peyton Wilson.
Your guy.
Up until DJ Burns did what he's doing, Peyton Wilson was the guy that had saved an NC State team and rescued it from the brink of disaster. And he is still that. It's just that maybe a lesser version, right? There's a difference between rallying a team to 5 wins in order to play in the Pop-Tart Bowl and rallying a team from 10th place in the ACC to the last 4 standing in the country. It's a different beast. But NC State had a guy to rally around even before DJ Burns, and that's Peyton Wilson. And as we discussed earlier this week, there have been some mock drafts coming out for the NFL. We're 22 days now away from the NFL draft. And Peyton Wilson is he's climbing higher than I expected him to on these mock drafts. Field Yates, ESPN, has him going 50th to the Eagles. I will admit this is both predictable and unpredictable. I believe the Eagles are exactly the type of team I thought that would draft Peyton Wilson. But 50th is higher than I thought anyone would want to draft Peyton Wilson for 2 reasons. Actually, let's discuss this real quick. He is going to go to a contender, okay? Because I believe contenders are looking for guys that can help them the moment they step in the facility. And there aren't many of those that aren't going to be drafted at the top of the draft. Peyton Wilson is going to be knocked down because his age and his injury history. You want to talk about watching every minute? I've watched every minute probably multiple times of Peyton Wilson's season. There's nothing on film on game day that would knock him down at all. But his age and his injury history are things that will give teams pause. If you are drafting in the second round or even the third, or if you're one of the contenders that don't have a high pick, those are so much better reasons for somebody to fall if you're looking for an immediate impact than the reasons everybody else falls. Everybody else falls because they don't have part of the checklist and you're hoping they'll develop it. Oh, he might not be fast enough. Oh, his recognition might not be good enough. Oh, his instincts or like whatever they're falling for, if they're fully healthy and young, are things that you hope that they can fix over time, right? With our coaches, 2 years from now, 3 years from now, they can be depended upon. Peyton Wilson, it's like the moment he gets here, we can depend on him. It's just a matter of how long he holds up.
That's the biggest red flag.
So if you're trying to win this year, you're thinking like, as long as he makes it 1 year, he might be able to help us win a championship. So the fact that, you know, I expected him to be late second, probably mid to early third. That's what I expected him to be in the draft. The fact that they're mocking him as high as 50th, some even higher, mid-second, tells me one thing. Do you think his health checks are coming out wildly clean? Do you think Field Yates, as an ESPN insider, is getting calls saying, yeah, we looked at his knees. There's nothing that scares us there. Because he is a player that lives on his tape. There are certain players, and by the way, he ran bananas at the combine, but we knew that. Like, no one's like, oh wow, Peyton Wilson's fast. It's like, if you watched his film, you were completely aware that he is a very fast linebacker.
I mean, the multiple times he chased down wide receivers in the open field to tackle them, oh, that wasn't indicative enough? Okay.
He was the fastest of everybody that ran on his day at the combine. I actually think he plays faster than his 40 time. So he stands on his tape, which usually guys that stand on their tape fall down the draft as you get closer. He's getting better. I think maybe that stuff is some of the concerns that we know he has, teams are more comfortable with than we thought. Now, the other side is the contenderness of it. He needs to go somewhere where they need him right now. Because he is older, right? He's the contenders are going to draft him because he can help them right now. He wants to go to a contender because by the nature of being 24, right, by the nature of being a guy that used all of his eligibility in college, and because of that, he is somebody that, you know, he doesn't have 15 years to get on a winner. He wants to go win right now. I think the Eagles would be a lovely spot for him. I know that there's this fever dream, this fantasy dream that he's going to end up in Carolina, right? There's even the Carolina, the Panthers, like, team site has done articles about him. I believe right now, if you walked up to him in the like, you saw him, I don't know, at the grocery store, and you went up and said, hey, are you Peyton Wilson? He'll probably respond with, yes, and I would like to be just like Luke Kuechly. In every single interview, he brings up Luke Kuechly because he's a North Carolina kid. Obviously, Kuechly was with the Panthers doing his thing during his formative years. He's just a massive Luke Kuechly fan. And by the way, why not? I'm not knocking that at all.
You can do worse.
Yeah, you model your game after somebody. It's a good one. Mm-hmm. But there is this kind of fever dream that he ends up in Carolina. I'm not sure that's actually the best fit. Because with his knees, with his injury history, with his age, you know, maybe his career is 7 or 8 years, ironically. Kuechly. If he bows out at about the same age as Kuechly, being kind of his idol, I'm not sure you would get the most out of him. However, if he goes to the Eagles, the Chiefs, the Bills, the Ravens, I mean, the Niners, whoever, they're going to use his entire kind of a career span as a elite contributor to an elite team. But yes, just remember, before the basketball team, there was a pretty good turnaround on that campus, and it was the football team. And before there was DJ Burns, the leader of that elite turnaround was Peyton Wilson.
So the reason I chose William Peace was because of their stellar game design program. It's very rare to find a game design program in the United States at all, let alone North Carolina. And this place seemed like the right place for me for where I wanted to go and the connections I could make within the program.
Turn your hobby into a career in one of the highest paid professions in the country with William Peace University's Simulation and Game Design program. Master design, 3D modeling, and programming in a state-of-the-art space with the latest and most remarkable technologies available. Find out more at peace.edu.